Hey, welcome back to Endpoint TV. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs, and today I'm joined by Guangyang. You're from Shanghai.
Yeah, I'm from Shanghai. It's a long trip to be here.
You came all this way just to be on Endpoint TV?
Yeah, well, that's the biggest reason I'm being here. Although I have some other reasons, one is definitely the biggest.
Oh, all right, good, good. Well, you know, actually, it's very nice to have you here. Yeah. I was just in Shanghai 2 weeks ago. We had dinner there with a bunch of the team, and it was great.
Right.
And I've gotten very good with chopsticks. Actually, I've been practicing, you know, eating a lot with chopsticks. I'm getting really good. So, but today you're here to tell us about some of the really exciting stuff that's happening with these activity packs.
Right.
You know, when I was talking to a lot of people about workflow in .NET 4, one of the things I always hated to say, or had this slide where I would say, oh, yeah, we have a sequence, we have a flow chart, and then we'd have this box that was kind of like grayed out. It said state machine. We said, yeah, we used to have one of those, and we don't have it now. And I hated saying that, but it's exciting to say we do have a state machine now.
Right, right. So we got a customer feedback that they really loved and really missed the state machine in 3.5.
Yeah.
So we're thinking, okay, then why don't we just provide a state machine for you, but maybe it's not that fast to provide this in a shipping product.
Right.
But we can drop it. But we can drop a copy on the activity pack, so you can play it with yourself. And we even release a source code. So if you want to learn how to write your own activity pack, you can use that as a sample. So
yeah, and in fact, these activity packs are released on CodePlex.
Yep.
So you get the source, and we can update them more frequently. And we're not going to say, yeah, you got to wait 2 years and then we'll have it. We're not going to say that. We'll do it sooner than that.
Right. That's the beauty of activity packs. So actually, we're considering doing more and more activity packs.
Yeah, yeah. So we've got right now, we have two.
Right.
Right. And there's state machine and there's one other one.
Yeah, the other one is the ADO.NET activity pack, which will basically let you to read and write database through ADO.NET.
Yeah, and this one is actually really cool because it's one of the things that I found initially to do a meaningful workflow, I had to drop into a code activity to update the database.
Right.
And so now it's possible that you could write a workflow that's pretty meaningful, does a significant amount of work, and it doesn't require you to write your own code activities to do this kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, a lot of customers are requesting this kind of database activity as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so frankly speaking, the ADO.NET activity pack we provide, it can not only do read and write, and it has very nice Visual Studio integration within the designer. So it's really easy to use. And actually, we got customers who want to ship this ADO.NET activity pack in their product. And we also have customers who has already replaced their 3.5 state machine with our state machine activity pack.
Wow.
And that's really great news.
Yeah, it is. It's actually, it's really cool. And I know a lot of people, they found that if working with workflow, a sequence is okay, it gets you so far, but after a while you kind of feel like, wow, I'm going through a lot of crazy things. I might as well, in 3.5 they had to go all the way to a state machine to get more flexibility. Now we have somewhere in the middle with the flowchart, but those people who did state machine and kind of got used to it, this is great news. So you have an example of the state machine designer here, and you want to take us through, tell me what this is.
Yeah, sure. So this is an example that I used to show the feature of the state machine activity pack release.
Yeah.
So it is an order processing process. So it means that when you say when you go to an online shopping store, you want to buy something, then this process is in the back end processing your order. It's like this kind of stuff.
So actually, you know what? Let's think about the states of this, because this is one thing that I think people struggle with. People aren't really familiar with the state machine.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the idea that an order, this entity of that we think of as an order, moves through different phases of a life cycle. So so we have a phase here where it starts where we're just creating.
Right. So first is creating the state.
Uh-huh.
Then after creating the state, you can editing the state.
Okay.
And during the editing order, the cycle, you can keep on updating it. So here you see a self transition. You can update again and again and again. Right.
Right.
So after this, you can do a confirm, like, okay, this is what I want to confirm it.
Right.
So when you confirm it, we will actually go into another entity, which is checking the inventory, because there may be not enough thing you want to buy, right?
Okay, so this would be like another transition in the state. The order is now, we're finished adding to it, and it's moved in this phase where we're trying to confirm the inventory
right.
to process the order. Okay.
Right. So here you see another entity, which is inventory. So in the inventory, we'll check to see if the inventory is efficient. So here you see a conditional transition, which come from here with this condition on that. So
yeah.
if the inventory is not enough, we'll go to the insufficient inventory state. Otherwise, we'll go to the inventory confirmed state.
Now, this is actually, so this inventory state has sub-states in it, so it's sort of like
yeah.
a hierarchical state
right,
machine.
Right, right. So this big box is actually a composite state,
yeah.
and it has some child states. So together, they have this kind of pattern of the nested state.
Okay.
But the good thing for this is that you can actually share some same transition with it. Here you can see the update order. That means in all these three states,
yeah.
you can update your order.
Oh, okay.
So instead of dragging three lines, adding three transitions from each of this
right.
Child state, you can just have one state on the parent state, which is really cool. And also you can have this cancel order transition, which means you can cancel whenever
from any of those,
right.
Okay. So, and the good thing about this is it allows you to take the complexity of this, you know, inventory part of the processing and kind of put it under one state.
Right.
You know, so if
right.
we collapse this diagram, would that hide that part there?
Well, currently, no.
Oh,
currently,
okay.
we cannot do collapse, but
oh,
it's
okay.
definitely in our plan.
Oh, all right, right. But so eventually, you know, you'll be able to collapse
yeah,
that down.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So then once all the inventory part of the order is confirmed, then you're ready to move to the shipping
yeah.
part of the process.
So, yeah, so here, if the inventory is confirmed, we'll just go to the shipping state and then shipped complete.
Cool. All right. So now, the other thing that people are not used to state machines is that the work always happens kind of on the transition, doesn't it? All right, it's sort
yeah.
of like you enter the state, you
right.
leave the state.
Right.
So let's go back to the beginning and talk about how those transition works with the create.
Yep, okay. So here you can see this is our first state creating order, right?
Uh-huh.
So you can see two small icons here, which means that it has a entry action and it has an exit action.
Okay.
So if you double click into it, you can see what's the entry and exit. So entry and exit here means that and the entry action means the thing that you want to do when you enter this state. Because, for example, you want to do some like initializations operation when you enter the state.
Right.
Right. And the exit action means the thing you want to do before you exit this state.
Okay.
So give you these two points where you can do things.
Yeah.
And besides that, in this transition, where you can see is that if you double click it, it will go into the transition designer. Here in the transition, you have the trigger, you have a condition, and you have an action.
Okay.
So trigger here means when this event happen, this transition will be triggered, right?
Okay.
So other than that, we'll also check the condition if there is any to say okay if only the we will only take the transition if the condition is true.
All right, now let me ask you a question on the trigger.
Uh-huh.
Because now in WF3.5, there were special rules about the kind of activity that could serve as a trigger. It had to, it's been a long time, but it had to inherit from some certain interface or something like that. Now in WF4, so we're saying an activity that could serve as a trigger, is it any activity or is that some special requirement?
It is any activity.
Okay. All right. So this happens to be a receive activity.
Yep.
Yeah. So in essence, it would say when this message is received, it causes this transition.
Yep.
Right. Okay.
Correct.
All right.
All right. So when this transition is taken, we'll operate the activity in the action. So here it
okay.
means, okay, this is what we do when we take the transition.
Okay, so the way I think about it is we received a message that causes us to create this order, and we stay in the create state until somebody sends this initial update order,
yep.
which causes us to leave the create state,
right.
do this transition,
yep.
and we could add some actions here
right.
as well.
And we go to the editing order state.
Okay, okay. Now, and the other thing that you could do is you could say that I might have a transition that happens after some period of time.
Sure.
Like maybe we have a timeout. If you create the order but you don't add anything to it within 2 hours, maybe we
right.
cancel
sure.
the whole
so in
thing.
In that case, you put a delay in that trigger.
Yeah, so you could have right. more than one transition is the point, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. if you want, you can do things like, okay, I'll do... So for example, we can do things like if you... Let me see. So we can put it directly to cancel.
Yeah.
And put a delay here. Like, if I double click, I can put a delay here. Okay, what delay is here. So you can set, say, 2 hours. Then...
Yeah.
Then after 2 hours, if there's no action, it will directly go to the cancel state.
Yeah, and I like that because that's very realistic of
yeah.
the kind of things that happen in business processes.
Right.
It's one of the things that workflow is really good at
mm-hmm.
is dealing with time-related issues where
yeah.
a traditional web service has problems with something like that.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And if you have a delay here, you have all this kind of goodness of workflow, which can do persist, which can make sure the long running behavior is correct. So you get all this kind of
that, and that's
stuff.
Very important, right? Because so if the workflow, you know, if we're on a server farm, the workflow happened to be created on this one. It did the initial processing. Some people will think, well, okay, maybe I've got this timer running here, and after 2 hours, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
It's like when the delay goes idle, it gets persisted. Any one of the servers might happen to wake it up when the timer goes
yeah.
off, so it's very robust,
right.
is the point.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, excellent. I'm sorry getting you sidetracked, but I think these are in really important points.
Right, right. Totally agree. I'm happy to show this, actually.
Yeah.
We are online editing it. Like, so I'll just delete it out
okay.
In case of demo.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
All right. So what else? So do you want to show any of the other things here? Do you want to run it, or what do you want to do now?
Okay, so I think I just ran it and I put a few breakpoints here, so
okay.
this well we can really understand what is going on beside.
Oh, cool.
Behind the
All
scenes.
Right, let's do that.
Yeah. So actually, if you let me see, if you see here, it actually have the breakpoint on the trigger activity, so we can see what's actually going on.
I'm glad you're showing this because I forget sometimes that people don't realize you can debug these.
Yeah.
In fact, when I was in Shanghai, I was teaching a class on workflow, and I realized that some of the students didn't realize that you could set a breakpoint, you could
that's
step
a really,
right through it.
That's
yeah.
a really cool feature.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Okay, so let's see it in action. Yeah.
All right. So we have three projects here. This
yeah.
guy here is the inventory service, which is a web service will actually check the inventory for us.
Okay.
So I run this guy up. Okay, so you see the console here. And then this guy, the demo project, which is actually the order processing workflow.
So that has our state machine
yeah.
in it? Okay.
Right. So we'll run this guy up. So it will actually run this workflow state machine as a workflow service.
Okay. And of course, you know, for this demo, you're just running these in console apps. But realistically, these are the kind of things that you could host in App Fabric.
Right. Sure. That's
yeah.
definitely what we recommend you to do.
Yeah. Actually. Okay. Good.
Yeah. And then the last project is a WPF client that I wrote to call this auto processing workflow.
Okay.
So here we have three window. So this kind is okay. I'll put it over here. This guy, I'll put it over here. So this is my window.
Okay.
Okay, so let's order something for wrong. So I
Good.
Type your name in, and you have three options, Windows, SQL, and Visual Studio.
Well, actually, since Visual Studio 2010 is very close to my heart, let's order that.
Okay. Okay,
yeah.
So then how much do you want?
1,000.
1,000.
Let's make it 1,000.
Well, that's the
I'm going to give one to all my friends. Okay.
Okay, so let's make it 1,000. So if I click OK, it will actually... send a creating order message back.
Okay.
So if I click here, You can see it actually hit here. Yeah, we are breaking here. Now, this guy is the entry action of the creating order, which is our first state.
Okay.
Okay, so if... So let's see what in what it will do in this entry action. So we'll assign a order ID randomly, and we'll call our ADO.NET activity to save it into database, and then it will return the order back.
Okay.
And it will do some logging in the red line for the purpose of demo.
Okay. Cool.
Okay. So if I press, so if I go, continue to do that, you can see actually here, we already. Output some message here telling you enter state, creating state, order created for wrong, then exit the state, and then actually enter another state called editing order.
Okay.
So the reason behind this is that on this creating order state, we have a transition called view order detail, which is waiting for a message called update order. So actually in my WPF client, when I click OK, I'll send two message in this kind of sequence.
Okay, so you sent the create and then you sent update.
Yeah, so I send a create, say created for wrong, and then I send an update message saying wrong wants Visual Studio 2010 in 100 copy.
I get it. Okay, so now we're in the editing state, so it's going to stay there.
Yeah, so we're here.
Until, we're either going to, from this point, we're going to update the order again, like we could add some more things.
Right.
Or we could confirm the order.
Right.
Okay, so let's go ahead and confirm it.
Yeah, let's try confirm the order. Like, here is the main window. If I click submit.
All right, so that,
So actually what happened is that it will trigger this transition going to the tracking inventory.
Right.
And then in the tracking inventory, it will actually send a message to our tracking inventory service. So what you can see actually here is that we are exiting the editing order state, and we enter the parent state of this inventory.
Yeah.
And then we go into next state of just checking inventory, which is here, and then send a request to check inventory. And it is roughly around here, you got this message that receives request to query inventory for Visual Studio 2010.
Okay.
Then you get this message back saying saying inventory confirmed because we have enough for you to buy.
Right.
Then it will go to this state.
Okay.
Then approve, ship.
And then done.
And then done. Right. So this is what we have. So one thing I want to point out here is we have a conditional transition here. So you can see we have two transition lines split out of a single point. So What does it mean? It's actually, if I click into it, you can see this checking inventory in activity in the trigger. So this guy will actually send a message to the inventory service and then get inventory back and then check whether it's larger than the quality that you ordered. So if yes, it will go to the inventory confirmed state. If not, it will go to the inefficient inventory.
Now that's very interesting. That is there's one transition, but it splits two ways.
Yes. So actually, what you can see is that if I click on this guy, you can see we have a hint here telling you shared by multiple transitions.
Okay. Yeah. Because I thought, are both transitions sending the check inventory? But it's the same trigger. It's just shared.
Right. It's the same trigger. It just have different conditions, and according to different condition,
it will
have different action and transition to different target state.
Oh. Okay. So you didn't try to automatically figure out a conditions. You know, you just allow me to define as many transitions, and I can.
Yeah.
Them.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, you can define whatever conditions here. It's just as long as it's satisfied, we'll take that transition.
Oh no. Okay. I like that. All right. Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. And then it automatically approved, and then it entered the shipping state, and then we were done.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's excellent. So and this is the first CTP release of the state machine.
Yeah.
How long before there's another? Have you guys got any plan, or do you know when they're going to be another CTP release or final release, or what do you think?
Well, that's a really hot question.
Yeah.
Like, we'll definitely have this final release that that is with .NET Framework 4.5.
Yeah.
And we're also considering some other options, like shipping another CTP release is definitely a thing we're considering, but currently we don't have a solid plan on the timing, and we haven't decided yet what feature we want to put in, because we want to have more time for customers to give us feedback, so then we know what's the customer need, and we can ship the biggest request from our real customer.
Okay, so this is important then, because what we want people to do is go download this,
yes,
try it out, see if it fits what you need, and if you want to give us feedback, there's a forum on Codeplex, right?
Right, there is a forum on Codeplex. There is a forum on MSDN, which is served as the Workflow 4 forum, and you can always shoot us emails.
Okay.
So yeah, we have a lot of ways to get feedback. Actually, we get quite a few feedback from the forums.
Oh, excellent.
Which is really, really valuable.
Yeah. Now, I know there is in WF 3.5, there was a lot of runtime classes that helped you to understand a state machine, like what state is it in right now, what states can it transition to, things like that. Does this have equivalent runtime classes that I could query about what's my state machine look like right now?
Well, unfortunately, no.
Okay.
The two biggest requests that's from the customer, one is querying the state.
Yeah.
For example, which state am I in? What are the possible transitions that I can take?
Right.
Or even the history, of the transition.
Okay.
Like, the other is this external control of the state. For example, I want to set the state machine into some state, using this kind of runtime instance outside the state machine. So this is a too big ask we got, but unfortunately, we cannot ship that based on the current implementation.
But so it's not there yet, but you're thinking about it.
We're definitely thinking about, and it's on our highest priority list, on the highest top.
Okay.
So we definitely will figure out how to provide that capability.
Oh, excellent. Now, we just saw it very briefly, but before we go, just wanted to take a look at the database activity. Do you have something to show about the database?
Yeah, sure.
Activity?
Actually, the database activity is pretty cool. So remember, so let's go back to this creating order.
Yeah.
So let me just cancel the debugging here. So what you see here is this activity, which is actually do the work, which saves order into the database.
Yeah.
So this is called the exit. Execute SQL non-query, which means that you are doing delete, add, or update.
Yeah.
Right? So we also have something called the execute SQL query. So they are all in this data. They are all in this data category. If you install our activity pack, so it will automatically show it in the toolbox. So we have SQL query of T, so let me just drag them in here. So this guy means that after you query, after you execute some SQL query, we want to give you a result that you can map into your object. And the T is actually the type of the object.
Okay.
So here, for the sake of convenience, we'll just put int. So we also have a execute SQL query, which means I don't want a result. I just want to do something in the handler.
Okay.
Like, so this is what we got for SQL activity.
Yeah.
So you can see the control they're sharing is the connection and command, right? So we have connection and command here and here and here. So I was just starting to introduce from this one. So the connection config button, if you click it, it will pop up this nice dialog for you.
Okay.
So if you're familiar with like ASP.NET or some kind of data source experience in Visual Studio, you're going to be very familiar with this dialog.
Okay.
What it will do is that it will actually let you select all the connections in your configuration file.
Okay.
So actually here you can see I have two. One is demo connection, one is this guy.
Okay.
So if you don't want them, okay, you can click the new connection button, it actually pop up this dialog for you to select to select your database. So
right,
this one
right.
is also this very nice Visual Studio integration.
Sure.
So let's try to see if there is any database I want here. So I'll type in the server name, and then you can see here's all the database I want.
Right.
Like
right.
VentureWorks. I just installed it.
Okay.
Okay, so if I select the VentureWorks here, if I click OK, so it goes here, you can see this connection string, and click OK, boom, you're done. So you've already selected a connection string.
Good, okay.
And then after the connection string, what you can do is you can edit the command. So it means
okay.
which SQL command you want to execute. So if you click the update, it's a little bit slow because it's trying to get all this stop procedure here.
Oh, okay.
So you have two options. One is SQL statement, one is stop procedure. In SQL statement, you can type in like select star from like user. You can type in this where
yeah.
ID equals parameter ID. Or what you can do is that you can click on a stop procedure,
yeah.
and if there is any stop procedure, it will automatically show in this combo box.
Oh, okay.
But for that VentureWorks, since there is no stop procedure in that, so we don't have any.
Yeah.
And for stop procedure, you can also have a return value.
Ah, okay.
Right. So let's go back to the SQL state. So since we have a parameter called ID here,
right.
and you want to set the value of the ID, what you can do is to click this parameter button, and you just do a ID. It's let's say it's an int,
yeah.
and then give it a value here, like for example 1.
Or that value, of course, could be
yeah,
a variable,
it could be a variable
from your workflow,
from argument. It can from
yeah.
outside, from a message.
Okay, great.
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah. So then here, click OK. We're done. We already set the connection. We already set the command.
Okay.
Now with the connection and command have set, you can get your result. So if it is in the SQL actually SQL query, you can get your result. If it
right.
is in a SQL non-query, you're already doing the work of saving
right.
the data or update the data or delete the data.
Yeah, so there's no result there.
Yeah, there's no result there.
Now, so in this case, since we did execute SQL query event 32,
yep.
if we had a table of a bunch of rows of ints,
yep.
then we would go through in this activities, and we could yeah. do something with all those ints, right?
Right, right. So here, actually, we will return the query result as a collection of
uh-huh.
int. And so for each int, we'll actually store it in a delegate argument called record.
Uh-huh.
And what you want to do here is that you can put some assign here to say, I want to assign this record to something. And then this something will actually go to... So here, what you can do is that I can say, I wanna save this record to the target. Here, let's say get integer 0. So here, actually, the record itself is a data record.
Oh, okay.
I did a record. It's purely from the 80.
And so target is what? Target is the int 32?
No, actually the target is the thing that the target is a variable that we created automatically in this scope.
Okay.
That you can actually save the data into, and then we will automatically put this target into the result. Into the result property of this
okay.
query as a collection. So here it is actually a loop. So
loop
through the query result and map from the data record to some object that you want, and then put the object into the result collection.
Okay.
So this way you got the object collection other than the record collection.
Oh, okay. I get it. Okay. So then at the end, if I said there was 100 ints in this table, I could store the result into a collection or a list of ints or
right,
something
right,
like that, and
right.
then use them later on.
Right. So
this is just saying
map
how I'm going to map out of each record into the target
right.
object. So
right.
Like, if this were an object like an order object, I might have, like, date, amount, or whatever.
Right, so that's the case. You just put multiple assign here, and you get the data from the record and put and assign them to the different property.
Yeah, and then you would say target.date, target.whatever.
Right.
Okay. So that's very common, like you see in a lot of ADO.NET code. You know,
right.
You sort of loop through the record set, copy it into something else.
Right.
So you want to close the connection quickly,
yeah,
and then move on and do something else,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so execute SQL query is just for that.
Yeah.
And we have the last one, which is the execute query without the without type parameter, is that in case you want to do some this kind of on-fly action.
Uh-huh.
For example, I want to get the email back and shoot the email right away. I don't want to save anything in my workflow.
Oh, okay.
If you really want that, we support you by this. So here for each record, you can do, say, send an email here.
Oh,
and
okay.
And we won't
get... So then I don't have to bother with map it all into a list of these and then send the email.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Okay.
So
that makes
just
sense.
Two patterns. So which one you like, you just pick them.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Wow, well, this is super cool. So activity packs... available on CodePlex, and we'll have some links in with this episode and on the Endpoint blog as well. So thank you so much, Wang, for joining me today. All right, we'll see you next time on Endpoint TV.